Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Obsessed podcast. I am your host, Veronica Santarelli, and this is a podcast for those of us who are just obsessed with all things diet culture, fitness, wellness trends, food, how celebrities get results. I also review other podcasts on these topics. On this show, I like to discuss details and the reality of trying to find balance in a world full of extremes. Now, if you want to support the show, there's a couple different ways you can do that. So today's episode is one of my free episodes. I do two free episodes every single month. And then I also do two premium content shows called Craving More. And those have extra juicy content, very personal stuff, some taboo topics. And you can subscribe to that a couple different ways. I have a Patreon where you can subscribe to three different tiers, including a VIP tier. And that's really, really personal stuff. And then you can also subscribe through Apple Podcasts. So those are a couple of different ways you can support the show. Another way that doesn't cost any money is just to leave a rating and review. It means everything to us podcasters, good or bad. We love to hear the feedback. I have made adjustments based on feedback, so I'd love to hear from you and how you're enjoying the show. So those are a couple ways if you'd like to support. Now, before we get into the show, I did want to talk to you about our sponsor, which is a trusted nutrition program focused on healthy aging and longevity. It's called ProLon for promoting longevity, and it helps maintain health, energy, clarity, weight, and performance while supporting healthy aging and rejuvenation of the cells. As you all know, I'm very much about slowing down the aging process and increasing longevity, and that starts with what you're consuming on a daily basis. Their main product is the ProLon 5-Day Nutrition Program that feeds the body with clean, premium ingredients while providing the rejuvenation benefits of fasting. The ProLon system allows you to eat for 5 days, and your metabolism and cells think you're fasting. It is the number one doctor-recommended fasting nutrition program based on over 20 years of research, and it was developed at the Longevity Institute of the University of Southern California. In human studies, ProLon showed to reduce biological age as well as risk factors for health conditions. It's a great body and spiritual reset that combines plant-based nutrition with spirituality and rejuvenation. Fasting is common in all divine religions and major meditation schools, and now science has uncovered that there are major benefits of this practice. I just got done with another round of the 5-day. My boyfriend did it. We both feel great. We both lost weight. We lost belly fat. So you can check out ProLon's nutrition products and program, and you can get their ProLon 5-Day. They also have a lot of different products, but they do recommend doing the 5-Day at least 3 times a year. And so you can go to ProLonLife.com and use code Veronica20 for 20% off your order at checkout. That's ProLonLife.com. Use code Veronica20 at checkout. All of this information will be in the show notes, as well as it's on my link in Instagram in the bio. So you can go check it out at the Diet Obsessed Podcast on Instagram. Go to my bio, click on the link, and enjoy. All right, let's get into the episode. So today I have a very special guest, and you know, I don't have a lot of interviews, but I was very interested in some of the background of this guest I have coming up. So Ashmita Rama Madhav is an educator, grief support advocate, and expert, entrepreneur, learner. She has been intimately acquainted with grief since her early 20s, having experienced miscarriage, rejection, and the loss of her parents and husband, which exposed her to a range of profound emotions. Her story is one of love, acceptance, forgiveness, gratitude, growth, and self-discovery, a narrative that resonates with those who have faced loss or are on a path of self-discovery following loss. Through her personal experiences, Ashmita has developed a deep appreciation for the significance of personal growth within the journey of the soul. Her mission is to share the knowledge she's gained with others. At the heart of her book, What's Your Story, is her passion for helping others and sharing her experiences. Through this book, she shares her personal journey through grief and self-discovery, with the intention of providing comfort and inspiration to those confronting similar experiences. Thank you so much for being here, Ashmita. It's very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too, Veronica. I'm glad to be here.
Now, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Washington State.
Oh, you are. Okay. Is that where you're from originally, or where are you from?
No, I'm not originally from Washington State. I'm actually originally from South Africa, which is where I was born.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Yeah.
When did you move to the States?
About 15, almost 20 years ago.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I'd love you to start by, if you can share your background with trauma you've experienced and how it's affected you and how it's brought you here today.
Yeah, sure. So when I was in my 20s, I experienced, had a really traumatic experience where I got married, had the marriage got annulled 6 weeks later, and I found out that I was pregnant, and then 6 weeks later had a miscarriage at the same time. So that experience in itself and just the grief that I experienced from that, all of that loss all of a sudden at the same time kind of pushed me into a space where I was feeling rejected from the world. I was lost, and I did not like the way I was feeling. I had the support of my immediate family, my mom, my brother, and my dad. I come from a very tiny family. But, you know, even with all of their support and everything, it's still, I guess I had to do a lot of growing up's the wrong word to use, but I had to do a lot of evolving, and that involved me venturing out into various different fields like energy work, Reiki, aromatherapy. I ventured out onto meditations, different forms of meditation, mindfulness, affirmations, subliminal, kind of working with my unconscious mind. That's where the subliminals came in. Yeah, just with the intention of trying to understand, how am I going to help myself? Because the world around me is, I mean, they're there for me, but they also not there for me because they can't solve my problem. So
sure.
that's
Yeah.
how it started, basically.
Was the rejection from the world, was it because of this expectation to be a mom, or what was that rejection all about?
So the rejection was, yes. And, you know, over the years, I learned this. When I look back now, at the time, I didn't know this. And I guess I had to evolve over time to learn what I know now. Yes, it was the expectation, because basically that's what it is. Ultimately, it's those expectations that maybe I adopted over time, or I started believing because of the community that I lived in, or it's just expected that, okay, you're going to be a mom, you're pregnant, you're going to have a baby. That's the result you expect out of it, right? So anything that goes other than that pushes you into a space of self-judgment, criticizing, I felt like why me? And into that kind of bucket, pushed me into there. And then with the whole marriage being annulled and all of that falling flat was another, it kind of added to it. So the
Sure.
two things together really made me feel like, okay, I'm worthless. Anybody can do anything to me and get away with it.
Right. Right. Oh, I'm so sorry you felt that way. And I'm so sorry about your miscarriage. Yeah. I've never been pregnant. I did feel a lot of judgment from society because I never wanted to have children, you know, and I think that there are a lot of expectations put on women, especially in our culture, and not, maybe not so much today, but certainly, you know, you're probably, you know, in the same generation that I am, where the expectations of women were maybe a little bit more profound for having children and the expectation to be a mom.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've learned a lot through those experiences. So can you share some strategies for thriving in challenging circumstances?
Yeah, sure. So I could, one of the strategies that I've used and I've learned over time is basically to, it started with affirmations, which I started basically with when I was in my 20s. But I found myself with affirmations feeling like I was kind of saying things to myself that I didn't 100% believe, but I was just saying it And it made me feel good, but to a point. And over time, as I realized that those affirmations actually needed to be more along the lines of how am I feeling about what am I saying? That connection needs to take place between the affirmation and my emotions. It's not just words that I need to say to myself, and those words are going to make me feel better. It's like, how do I marry these two together so that it actually does become my reality? It is something that I really do believe because, once you believe something, then the actions that follow automatically are in line with whatever you get. I really do firmly believe that based on the experiences that I've had after that. But so the thoughts. So the affirmations and then the feelings that kind of go with that helped me to sort of go to the next level where I was feeling more connected.
Yeah, no, that's great. So how did you even learn to start affirmations? Like, where did that, would you even learn that?
Just through my, I didn't even know a thing as a teenager. I didn't even know a thing existed, a thing called affirmations existed. I think as I was searching for answers in my 20s, I came across, I was going through, because of the place where I was stuck, I kind of anything that came to me and looked like it was going to have the potential to help me feel unstuck, I researched it more and I kind of, went more into it. So I had done quite a few different workshops and through that, it was like the stepping stone kind of thing. Some things worked, some didn't. Some worked to a certain point, and then I felt stuck. So I learned about the subliminal tapes, and the idea behind the subliminal tapes is they, you have this music, but behind the music, there's this these affirmations or these words that are being said, which you don't really hear. All you're hearing is the music. And if you're playing this music while you're sleeping specifically, then these words are actually talking to your unconscious mind because you're not conscious. You're sleeping.
Interesting.
So when I learned about this, I thought, what's the harm in this? I'm going to definitely look into the subliminals, see what is this message that they have behind the music, because I don't want to just put anything into my subconscious mind,
Right.
right? If
Yes.
it's going to control me. So started experimenting with that. So, I kind of got some tapes on. And in those days, there wasn't really CDs that much. It was tapes, no screen.
Right.
And I started with those positive thought power, forgiveness, those kind of things. Because I did notice with myself that I was, it doesn't matter how positive the things that were happening around me was, I always found a way somehow to almost sabotage myself or think that I was not good enough. I didn't deserve whatever was happening. So I kind of was blocking my own progress.
Right.
Something I noticed. So yeah, that's how it all kind of started in some strange way, and it's evolved into something,
Yeah.
now.
I love that. So I've been recently getting into affirmations, and at first, when I first started them, I think I was doing it the wrong way because I was applying for this business license in Arizona, and I was almost using it as like this like wish, like, oh, the universe is going to make my wish come true. And I would like write down this affirmation that I was going to like win this thing. And it was a lottery. I mean, it was so far-fetched that I was even going to win this thing. And then I stopped doing them because I was so disappointed when I lost. And I was, and then I was like, well, that's not the right way to be using those affirmations. And what I realized is that like when I started doing them again and I built a vision board, I really wanted to try to change my brain patterns around like things like feeling good enough and feeling and anxiety about money and abundance and things like that. So my goal with doing the affirmations now, and I've gotten into a really consistent pattern, has been to, well, my goal at least with them is to be happier and to feel like I am enough and to bring abundance into my life and growth. And so are you able to share the affirmations that you do?
Yes, like right now, the affirmations are because
Yeah,
it's
I'd love to
evolved.
hear.
I've had different things happen to me. And the biggest thing that's affected my life in the last 4 years is my husband passing away from pancreatic cancer. And then a
Sorry.
year and a half ago, we suddenly lost my dad as well. It happened so quickly, in like a week and a half. So that has kind of really, so when I find myself really down, and I find that I'm, as grief does that to people, it's just something that happens when you're grieving the loss of somebody, a loved one, or the loss of something that was and is not going to ever be again. Tend to go into this space of feeling this lack of something and just feeling really depressed and sad, disillusioned, that kind of stuff. And whenever I find myself, strangely speaking, I mean, I was speaking today, but just 2 days ago, I was kind of feeling this, is to just go back to that feeling of reminding myself that I am worthy, that I am, and sort of grounding myself. So all is well is something that I would remind myself all the time. Everything is the way it is supposed to be. I did the best that I could with the knowledge that I had at the time. So that's the whole forgiveness. It's not only about forgiving the experiences or anybody else that was involved in that experience, but it also involves me forgiving myself and kind of making peace with that somehow or
Sure.
the other. A lot of these things come from a space of fear.
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown, fear of what's going to happen because life was a certain way. I was comfortable. Suddenly I'm thrust into this place where a lot is unknown and I don't
Right.
know how to solve that. So fear. So how do I, basically the thought process I work with is how do I make myself feel comfortable enough that I would actually want to take that step in this space that makes me feel so fearful.
Sure. Yeah. No, I
And
love that.
all is well. It's
That's
ground.
huge. Yeah. I read a book called, or maybe I listened to it on Audible, but it was The Power of Now. Have you ever
I
read
have.
it? Yeah. That helped me because I mean, I have anxiety like crazy. So I realized I was just worrying about all these things that were never going to happen and or might not ever happen. And it's like, why am I doing that to myself? And so the book was a little like woo-woo, but it's also it really was powerful because it really just kept saying the same thing over and over that really
Yes.
just focusing on now and how you are okay. And that was really powerful for me. Studying Stoicism. Have you ever heard about Stoicism?
I have briefly recently started looking into that as well. Yes, and I find it interesting.
There's some correlations with some of the things that you're saying, like, everything is supposed to be the way that it is, or you said something to that effect. And Stoicism is all about acceptance and to be grateful for whatever's happening to you, even if it's a terrible thing in the moment. You
Yeah.
know, we the obstacle is the way is kind of one of those kind of quotes from this guy that I listened to called Ryan Holiday. And it is, it's taught me a lot about acceptance and about knowing that these challenges are going to make me stronger and a better person and more resilient to whatever's going to happen in life. So I really believe in all of that you're saying. So that's great. So you have a do you do affirmations every single day?
I do, affirmations are something that I use more when I'm feeling disconnected or I'm feeling overwhelmed with a situation or a and you could be up, you could be functioning, you're getting, you have it all, you've got your mojo going here, everything's working according, and suddenly something would happen to just trigger you. And then you find yourself spiraling, and that is the moment when I've just, okay, I've got to catch myself and I've got to get myself back to, and it's not an instant thing. I haven't come to a space where I can just instantly change from one to the next.
Sure.
Because it's also about acknowledging what's going on at this very moment and sort of trying to work with that the best that you can. Because I believe that, the more you work with it, it kind of, each time you work on it, it gets a little easier, but you're also getting rid of that baggage that's holding you back.
Right.
So it's important to, I really do believe that, and it's kind of from my experience, I've noticed that it does seem to be getting a little easier. I'm not saying I enjoy the experience,
For
but
sure.
it does get easier. No, easier is the wrong word to use also. Let me be fair here. It gets manageable.
Yeah.
I can
Yeah.
manage it instead of
Yeah.
it changing me.
No, I love that you said that, because the other day I was spiraling and I was like, why am I spiraling right now? I'm like, I have all these tools now, and I thought that, oh, I shouldn't be going down to this dark place anymore. But the reality is, we're all going to do that sometimes. And it's just having these tools in the toolkit to be able to pull upon to help
Yes.
yourself out of that situation, right?
Yes. And fundamentally, in the initial stages, and this is a hard pill to swallow. And I think once I decided to accept it, it's kind of pushed me into a space where I don't point fingers at anybody else, and I have no expectations of the world around me. If things come to me, I'm grateful, but it all starts and ends with me.
Yeah, that's
So
huge.
yes, and that in itself is an affirmation. So I remind myself of that whenever I start feeling a little like in that victim mode. I'm like, oh, I'm grieving. Why doesn't nobody around me understand? I mean,
Yes.
sorry, I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, because grief is really, it is a scary, it is a lonely place. It is absolutely a lonely place to be. And if you someone who hasn't experienced it, it's very hard for them to understand how to support a person who is grieving. But it's also, in the same token, difficult for a person who is grieving to say what they need.
Right,
So
right.
it's a very it's sort of like it teaches you to be in the moment. The person who's grieving, but also the person who's supporting. Both
Sure.
of you need to be in the moment, because it's like it changes all the time.
Yeah. No, and it sounds like you've had a lot of loss. I mean, it sounds like, did your dad die also of cancer? It sounded like it was fast.
No, his was just after a fall. He was fine, had a fall, and a week later he was gone.
Wow.
So both my mom and my dad, their passing happened so quickly within a week
Wow.
that it kind of just, it happened and it was over, and we're like, okay, we don't know, but we know, medical and that kind of stuff. But with my husband, that whole cancer was an experience in itself. Just being
Yeah.
a wife and a caregiver, and a lot of things I didn't even realize at the time while it was happening, that this is what I'm losing.
Yeah.
Because I'm so invested in being his caregiver and also trying to be his wife and trying to be so many other things at the same time, that it only knocked me after he actually passed. That experience in itself was, oh man, that's a whole big story on its own.
Yeah.
Just, it shook me in so
Yeah,
many ways.
no, I can't imagine. I mean, I've never lost, somebody. I mean, I lost my father a long time ago. It's actually one of the reasons that I started this podcast, because he was someone that didn't take care of his health through his life, and eating, and the way he ate, the way he smoked cigarettes, the way he didn't exercise, all these things, which has kind of made me passionate about health and wellness and things that you can improve in your life to help you live a longer, healthier life.
Right.
But I don't know if I ever really was able to go through the stages of grieving with him, because I was in a very narcissistic relationship at the time, and it was just, I didn't get the support that I needed. Do you feel like there really are those stages of grief? Do you believe in those stages?
That's such an interesting question, and I've been doing some research about that and just reading up, and from what I've read, the stages of grief was created specifically for patients who are terminally ill. That is the stages that they go through.
Ah.
Somehow there's this understanding that a person who is grieving the loss of a loved one goes through those exact same stages. And I found a little bit of a disconnect. It didn't make sense to me, because I'm like, I'm not angry.
Right.
I'm not really denying to that level. Something's not making sense to me. And as I did more reading, I realized that those were for a person who's terminally ill. There are stages, there are different emotions and stages, in inverted commas here, that a person who's grieving goes through, which is different, similar but different. And I was like, okay, these make more sense. I'm not able to quote them off the top of my head, but when I Googled it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. That I found that and I was like, okay, these make a bit more sense. Yes, loss of a life that I lived, that makes sense. Just this is never going to be ever again. It was something that was. It's I can't replicate it. I'll have to put 23 years into something in order to replicate. But anyway, it's still never going to be the same.
Yeah, no, and I think a lot of people, I mean, I have a lot of experience with like different types of relationships, and I just think that a lot of people have to grieve the relationship they thought was going to be, because a lot of people have all these, getting back to expectations even. I mean, I've learned that managing my expectations is the key to happiness, right? And I think a lot of people put expectations on other people that they have relationships with, and it leads them to be very unhappy. And then when that relationship ends, it's like almost like grieving what you thought that relationship could be.
Yes.
And so it's just very interesting.
Jeez,
Let's turn the topics to mindfulness. So, on this podcast, we talk about, mindfulness in terms of food choices, how your body feels when it comes to different things like working out, managing anxiety and mental health. Like I found really, like when I'm anxious, I'm always like, what am I anxious about? And really just like isolating that issue. Like, and when I isolate it, I'm able to just understand it and analyze it, and then find a solution in my own head. Like, okay, like I don't need to be thinking about that right now, or I can, or that's not something that really is a concern today, or something like that. So I know that that's really helped me in terms of my own mindfulness. Like there's a whole like intuitive eating movement where it's all about getting away from diet culture. And we talk a lot about diet culture on this podcast, and being more intuitive in terms of like eating what you love, eating what you want, but also being mindful about how it affects your body and your mental health. So, how do you think about mindfulness in your day-to-day and what you do?
So I have noticed, and I'm going to talk specifically from a grief angle here, like, with diet and exercise and that kind of stuff. In the last 4 years, with the grieving that I've been experiencing, I noticed initially that my energy levels were, well, grief is tiring on its just in itself. Because mentally and physically, you kind of feel drained and you're tired. And when you're tired, sometimes you have lack of appetite. You don't want to eat. And I had to continually remind myself that, am I drinking enough water? One of the most important things. Your body needs water, in order for so many of the systems to function, right? So am I drinking enough water? Am I taking in the necessary nutrients and things that my body needs, even though I'm feeling like I don't really want to eat. So just, and that's where the whole mindfulness comes in, is, knowing that what does my body need diet-wise just for it to survive and be able to function? Am I providing those nutrients? Am I providing all of those different things for my body? And then on the perspective of exercise, I don't feel like exercising. I just want to curl up in some corner and sit there and mope, and I don't even know why, because I just feel so disillusioned. I don't know, right? But even if it means me getting out of that in that very moment, just saying to myself, yes, I'm going to acknowledge how I'm feeling, but let me acknowledge how I'm feeling while I take a walk outside in nature. Nature's very therapeutic.
Oh, yes.
So trying to kind of just, I've come to this whole thing about I need to start being intentional, deliberate, and parent myself. Basically, that's the bottom line. So diet-wise, what am I doing? How am I doing it? Is it good enough for now? Right? I can improve on it. There's always room for improvement, but am I doing the best that I can right now? I need to hold myself accountable. And that's just, and then the same with physical activity. is the mind. Oh, the mind is so powerful. And it can, especially those limiting thoughts and beliefs that somehow just find themselves in your mind. And if
Sure.
we put momentum to that, if we give it any attention, it is absolutely amazing how those thoughts can get that momentum and suddenly take over. And yet, how did I find myself in this space? I don't really believe this. How did I find myself in the space where I'm eating so much sugar? And I know what sugar does to me. If I eat sugar, I will have a sugar crash later, and I will have a headache, or I will have feel sleepy, and I just can't stay awake. I need to sleep. So watching my sugar intake is very important for me because I've noticed over time with my body, as I get older, also what sugar does to me, what gluten does to me, what dairy does to me. And that's where the whole mindfulness comes in. I've been in this body for a long enough time to be able to say what it's doing to me.
No, I think that's a great point and important to discuss, because I think, I've worked with clients when I was back in the weight loss industry that would, when they would go through difficult times, they would emotionally eat and put on a lot of weight, and that would end up affecting their mental health, of course. And so, and I sometimes go either way. Sometimes I'm so anxious and upset about something that's going on in my life that I lose all my appetite, just like you were talking about. And then other times I can't, I just want to like eat my feelings. So, and but then there are times that I can consciously, I mean, at this point, having worked on all these things so long, I'm like, how do I want to, how is this going to make me feel tomorrow and the rest of this week if I indulge this way and eat my feelings and I have a lot of sugar and it's just going to make me worse. So, let me make better choices now. I think I'm lucky in that I've always been the type that exercise, like I've gotten into the point where I don't exercise anymore for just, just health and just how I look and fitting into my clothes. It is more about my mental health at this point. Because I have noticed when I'm sad, when I'm anxious, if I do walk or just get some activity and I do feel better, it's like that, the dopamine rush, the brain activity, the serotonin levels, all of those things help. So yeah, it sounds like you're looking at the same things with how you're feeling and how you're dealing with grief and all of these other things.
Most definitely. And I think, as a person who's, especially from a grief front, I mean, anybody should do this, but especially when you're feeling stuck and you're grieving, and you, as soon as you're aware, like have that awareness and you know, I'm stuck, one of the biggest favors you could do yourself is to get out there and get into nature and just walk. Do some activity, any activity that is going to lift your spirits, because once, as you said, those dopamine levels start rising, and it can only do that once you start moving. If you move the body, it's going to actually do its job to help you feel better. So it's actually your friend. Our bodies are our friends. We got to really tune in with them and let them help us and help them. So it's that
Well,
relationship.
that's, homeostasis. I was just hearing on a podcast the other day that our bodies really fight to be back in homeostasis. And we do. Our bodies want balance. It's where we feel at our best. So, getting back to the nature topic, because I'm from Maine originally and I love nature and I just, so for me, I've always, you hear all about the benefits of meditation and all of these things. And I, the traditional sense of meditation where you're just sitting in silence for however long, that's never really resonated with me, I think. But I consider meditation, even when I do just go out for a walk in nature, or I'm out on the lake on a paddle board and I can just breathe and just be in nature. Like, how do you think of meditation? How did you first learn about it? Kind of walk me through kind of how you started with meditation and what it, how you think of it.
Sure. So I started with meditation at a young age, and also with a misconception in my mind that I should be, when I sit down to meditate, I should be having a clear mind and this out of body experience, connecting with, and that's the expectation. And when that was not happening for me, judging myself. Okay, what's wrong with me? Why is this not happening? And is everybody else experiencing the same thing? So that whole, I kind of went down that avenue, and over time, I have settled to, and I really do think this, that as you said earlier, meditation is not, I mean, it is, but it's also not only me sitting down and having this out of body experience or something of that sort. If I am able to sit in silence and I am able to absorb what's going on around me, but also what's happening inside of me, and just be aware of that, whether my mind has thoughts or not is not the question, because your mind is going to do what it needs to do, and that is think. So your mind is supposed to have thoughts,
Right.
right? So I just observe those thoughts. I'm an observer. I observe those thoughts. I don't give any importance to them. Let them flow. It's like watching a river flowing, and to just try to be one with what is happening at that moment. So if I'm walking in nature, and if I can be one with nature, then that would be me meditating. When I am one with, when I'm playing with my pet, and we are so in tune with each other, that's a form of meditation. It's the connectedness.
I love
And the
that.
same applies to my children or anything that I do.
I love that. So do you have a regular practice that you do consistently, or does it change up every day?
It changed.
That's okay.
It does change up every day. It depends on my mental state, where I am on a daily basis. And as I said earlier, some days I am up, other days I am down. And that just, will control or sort of tell me what I need to do. Do I need to sit and meditate for an extended period? Do I need to maybe go for a walk in nature because I'm feeling so disconnected? Or am I going to sit and do some breathing exercises today? Help me feel grounded and just a bit more. Yeah, also another way of feeling connected. I found breathing as I'm walking in nature is another form of feeling that connectedness. But nature really plays a very, very big role in, for me,
Yeah.
meditation and feeling that ground, feeling grounded and connected and that kind of stuff.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I'd first heard about it, Howard Stern. I used to listen to Howard Stern, and he would talk about how he did transcendental meditation, which sounded just very intense and not something that I could ever do myself. But when I started learning more about it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, nature can be a form of meditation, just going out for a walk. So I'm like, maybe this is accessible to me. So talk to me about your breath work. Do you have a regular practice with breath work? How did you learn about breath work?
Same, just doing just a lot of different research and things like that. I have kind of found a lot of different breathing exercises through the yoga path, and a lot of yoga and that kind of stuff, the stretching and things like that has been very helpful. Just learning the various different yoga poses, but then the breath work that's involved with yoga, and
Yeah.
then this whole practice of pranayama, which has various different breathing exercises that benefit you for various different things. And one of the biggest ones that I enjoy is the alternate nostril breathing exercise, which really helps me to feel calm and peaceful inside. So, especially when I'm feeling anxious. And before I learned about that, the very first time I learned about that breathing, like breathing through your belly, breathing like into your belly, and that was years ago when I was also going through a phase where I was feeling very anxious and things like that. One of the doctors had actually told me, try this out, and they showed me how to do this breathing exercises where you're breathing all the way into your belly, but I'm putting my one hand on my belly and the other hand on my chest. And I am counting one, two, breathing to like five. And by the time I reach five, my belly's inflated, my chest is inflated. And then I'm really breathing out 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Slowly, it's a systematic. It's like, there's regular intervals when you're counting as you're breathing out, and to continually do that. And the effects of that was very calming to me. So that was very beneficial, and I liked that how it made me feel.
Sure.
So I continued to practice that.
Yeah, now that you mention yoga, that's probably my first introduction into breath work. And I mean, at the time when I first started doing yoga, my mind was just going crazy. I was just like, get me out of here. I was like, this is torture. I can't stop thinking about everything going on in my life and all the stress I have. But the more I've practiced it, the better I've gotten at it. And, you know, some of my friends do like specific breath work classes, which I have no interest in those. I do believe in breath work and I do believe in the benefits, but I like it in a smaller practice, like doing yoga, or if I'm really having a really difficult moment that I'm going through where something bad is happening or I'm anxious and, you know, just I do recognize that breathing can help calm me down. So yeah, so all of this is so interesting. And so you do education for people, Ashmita?
Yes, I do like called like coaching calls and that kind of stuff.
Okay, great.
Do that. Yes, I'm working on some workshops and things. That's still something in the works. Still working on putting getting a workshop and things like that developed and out there. So yeah, that's where I am at this point.
Okay, great. Well, I do appreciate you being here so you can talk about all these really interesting topics. Why don't you, is there anything else you want to talk to my listeners about? Do you want to share where people can find you?
Yes, so I'm you can find me on my website. My website is called storyyoutellyourself.com. I have a book, as you said earlier, it's called What's Your Story? And I also have a challenge that I've put out there on my Facebook group, which is called Growth Story Hub. It is a grieve and grow challenge that I've put out. Basically what people need to do is kind of take a picture and maybe write a little thing about how they are rocking as they're grieving. So how are you empowering yourself? What are you doing that's helping you to deal with this grief, as because it's something that we all live with in some form or the other. And kind of just putting that out there. And then I'm on social media. So
Great. What's your social media handle?
it is at Growth Story Hub.
Great. Well, everybody go follow Ashmita. Thank you so much for being here, Ashmita. It was really interesting to talk to you, and thank you for sharing your story and everything you're working on.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You have a great day. Thank you.